Welcome to Percival's Place on TalkZone.com, the show dedicated to green initiatives. Now, here's your host, Percy Dyer.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Percival's Place. My name is Percival, and again, this is my place. What we're going to do, for those of you who missed the show last week, we're going to do a continuation of that show, and I'm basically going to, you know, reiterate some of the things that we were talking about and talk about some of the things that we have in plan for the future. Again, this is a show basically about America's Green Portal and the green initiatives that we are planning to implement within the United States and actually globally. So one of the things that we're going to be dealing with is, you know, our youth, our children. And also some of the unfortunate mishaps that has plagued some of the minority communities. And, you know, I have a friend of mine who's on, and he is my juvenile director of America's Green Portal. And his name is David Belton. David, are you on?
I'm on. How you doing, sir?
What's going on, brother? How you feeling?
I'm doing well, man. How about you?
All right. Not bad. So, Dave, you know, just to reiterate some of the things that we were talking about last week for some people that may have missed the show, let's go over a few of the things that we were dealing with last week, some of the topics. As you're aware of, you know, I used to, you know, work at one of the state parks here in New York. And, you know, at Jones Beach, you know, as a youngster, I had to, one of the things I had to do before I became a foreman and, you know, all that other good stuff, I had to go around with pickups and actually literally pick up garbage. And, you know, and this sort of a thing, you know, it sort of made me take a look at the behavior that I was, you know, doing as a youngster, you know, just going to the store and just throwing pieces of paper and bottles and whatever else, you know, after I finished and just throwing it on the street. And after that, as I stated, you know, you couldn't catch me to this day, to do that again, because what had happened now was I became acutely aware of what I was doing. And you know, and as I've stated before, you know, the garbage like this that winds up in our streets only go one place, which is the sewer system, unless somebody's cleaning it up, which, again, goes into our you know, our water table. So, you know, it's such a detrimental act, but you don't think of that when you're a kid. You know, you're just doing what everybody else is doing, and you know, you're just not thinking. In Canada, however, you're not going to see a piece of paper on the street. You're not going to see it anywhere, whether it be Montreal, Toronto, Quebec, any place. You're not going to see any paper. And if you do, you literally see people running to get the paper to put it in the in what they call the trash receptacle, of course. But they make sure that their place, and the extension of their home is clean. And as I stated before, when I was growing up in the 60s and 70s and 80s, you know, my sister made me go out and clean up the front of my home. But right. I never thought of, you know, the entire community. You know, I would never throw a piece of paper in front of my home because I knew that I could be the one cleaning it up. But I would throw a piece of paper on the street, no problem. You know, so as I had to deal with this sort of a thing, my behavior changed, my mindset changed, that kind of a thing. And, you know, we had this discussion before where you'll see these signs on the highway, and it says $200 littering fine, and you see garbage all around it, which I think is hysterical, you know, in the humor, you know, in that. And then you look a few feet and there's no garbage, but in, you know, in that particular area, there's garbage, you know. So, what do you think about that? What are some of your plans that we're going to do as parents, you know, not just as the juvenile director for America's Green Portal, but as parents too, you know, what can we do to curb that kind of behavior?
Well, I think, you know, simply put, you know, using your own example, you know, we have to get our children to buy in or to invest in, you know, wanting to clean up their areas and have pride in, you know, first their homes and then themselves. And then you know, take that pride and extend it out to the greater community. I think that,
right.
You know, what your sister did, or, you know, as we were discussing before, you know, in brief, you know, in certain situations where at-risk youth are detained and they have no choice but to buy into the system of
sure.
cleaning up that facility.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, right, for various reasons. And, I think that, you know, some of that is not necessarily a bad thing to mimic in your own home. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think that at some point, you know, we all become, you know, responsible adults, and we all, to some degree, by and large, you know, police the trash around our, you know, our homes, you know, when it's been windy or it's raining, or, you know,
mm-hmm.
we cut the grass, or, you know, we trim the bushes, or, you know, whatever it is that we're doing, you know,
right.
we're adding, you know, some sort of aesthetic value, you know, to the property in which we, you know, are dwelling in. But I think at the same time, as I've kind of said before, you know, any movement, whatever it may be, if there are no, you know, young folks involved, then the movement tends to kind of fizzle out, because
sure.
young folks bring that energy, you know, and that perspective, you know, it's new for them. You know, they get excited, they rally around it, they bring their
mm-hmm.
friends, and suddenly, you know, they bring a crowd of folks that I personally, you know, as an adult, wouldn't be able to bring. I wouldn't be able to rally, you know, 15 or 16, you know, 15-year-olds to come and, you know, clean up a park, you know,
right.
without, you know, somebody, you know, one of their peers being, you know, really vocal and energized and polarized,
right.
you know, to get folks to be involved and come on out and do it. And again, I don't want to, you know, make any of my statements to say that it isn't being done, because there are places,
that's
you
right.
know,
that's
in
right.
your community, in my, you know, community, their neighborhoods, their churches, you know, there are community organizations that are doing these things.
Right.
But it's just not being done at a large enough scale where
mm-hmm.
you begin to see, you know, the difference, you know, when you travel to a different area, you know,
that's
say
it.
Just, you know, 5 or 6 miles outside of your, you know,
that's it.
Comfortable, you know, neighborhood, you know, where all the street signs that, you know, you remember from your youth. And then you go, you know, 5 or 6 miles to the left or the right. And then you see either where the community has bought into cleaning it up, or they're kind of bought into the apathy of maintaining, you know, it being dirty. And then also being
right.
fully invested in having the discussion about how dirty it is, without doing anything about it. So,
you
again,
go.
You know, as I said before, I think we're all about trying to turn apathy into action.
Okay. And you know, and again, this brings me to the point that we were talking about last week, where I saw the jail cell in the middle of this community in the New Jersey, Philadelphia area. And again, the jail cell was, and I imagine this is brand new at the time, but, you know, it was so much more inviting than the community itself. And
cool.
as I
cool.
stated, that if I was a child, I would want to know how I could get there. You know, I want to know how I can go to jail, because the grass was green. It was cut. It was edged. It was all that kind of stuff. The building had no graffiti on it. The barbed wire was shiny, brand new. There was trees. I mean, you can even when the wind blew, you could listen to the air just hitting, you know, going through the trees. I mean, it was so wonderful. You know, and it just seemed like such a pristine, you know, place, you know, it was just outstanding, you know. And then you look at the community, and it was the exact opposite. It was dark, you know, it was, there was graffiti everywhere. The housing, which if you haven't already noticed, I really don't like houses on top of a house, you know, that kind of, you know, where there's a, not that I'm criticizing Baltimore, but there was an area in Baltimore where they literally make the houses right next to each other. They're connected. I don't really particularly care for that, but you know, they're right on top of each other. And you know, there's litter everywhere, you know, and, you know, when the sun shined, it didn't seem to shine there, which was very
right.
interesting to me. You know, it just seemed to beam at the jail cell, which I thought was very interesting. So, you know, those are the things that you know, stick out in my mind. And, you know, I didn't know that, you know, several years later that I would be embarking on such a big, huge, nationwide project. But, you know, so be it. And, you know, I'm glad that it did stick out, and I'm glad that I did get a chance to see it. But let's talk about some of the future strategies that we can implement like this. How are we going to, because from what I see, and you're right, there are organizations that actually go out and they clean up the parks and some neighborhoods and that kind of thing, but it's not being done on a regular basis. And what it seems to me that there needs to be some kind of conditioning. You know, when you're a child and you're growing up, you're being conditioned. You know, in this particular case, for me, you know, and, you know, I had my mother and father right here, you know, in the house, you know, but my sister is the one that made me do that, you know, so, you know, and she conditioned me that way to the point where my room was clean, that the street was clean, you know, this was clean, this was that way, this was this way. So she actually conditioned me that way. But it seems to me that there needs to be some kind of conditioning. And in this sense, it has to be done on a regular basis. It can't just be done, okay, we're an organization, we're going to go out and do this and we're going to make it nice for the moment. It needs to be done every single day, on a regular basis. And, you know, my plan, simply put, was to just go out, pick up sticks, get the garbage bag, and literally go up and down these streets and in these communities and literally clean it up and make sure that every day it's clean. So how are we going to now implement the plan? And of course we're only talking about the warmer months, but how do we keep that kind of momentum going? Because I think once people get used to it, now I know there's always going to be those who are going to be complacent and they'll just, you know, keep throwing that kind of thing onto the street. I realize that. But, I think with conditioning, and a certain mindset, I do believe that we can, you know, stop people from littering, you know, in our own neighborhood. So what do you think, you know, will keep that kind of momentum going?
Well, a couple of things, you know, stuck out to me, that you said. I think, first of all, I think for me, you know, where in which I don't think this is just a warm month kind of conversation or action that needs to take place, because whether it's hot or cold, you know, people still generate trash. So that's not going to change. But at the same time, you made it very, very clear in the sense that, you know, the conversation, the action is almost like a flash in the pan. And I think the only way, you know, that this changes is, you know, to have the opportunity to keep having the conversation, you know, be a fresh conversation every day, you know, where you can't just have, you know, a week or a month or a day, you know, where one community or the other has a community cleanup day, and then it's, you know, surrounded by some sort of incentive that has some sort of cost attached to it that then, you know, gives the participants some sort of attaboy to say, oh, you did a great job. I think that doing the job is the incentive, and it's all about being able to change the language and the definition of that.
Okay.
You know, this is the, okay, well, listen, you know, let's kind of go back into, you know, a bartering system, if you will. You know,
okay,
you bring the bags, I'll bring the gloves, you know, you bring the hot dogs, somebody else bring the buns, you know, you bring the water, you know, and we have a party. But, you know, we have to get to that point where we are able to have those conversations. And I think, again, you know, and I've said this before, you know, in conversations you and I have had, to me, I think the key is communication. I think that when we stop, you know, the ability to communicate, you know, around any topic or any subject, then we lose the ability to partner and make change. And I know you, you know, are a master communicator, and that's something that I've always appreciated about your personality. And I think that, you know, this undertaking, you know, gives you the opportunity to expose that to more folks. You know, that's going to be, you know, really beneficial. But, you know, just to kind of be, I guess, a little bit more detailed in what it is that I'm saying is, you know, it can't just be, you know, a Saturday that we go to, you know, one elementary school or high school.
That's right.
Have you. It has to be a Thursday and a Tuesday, you know, a Tuesday morning, a Thursday afternoon, you know, a Friday after school. It has to be something, you know, that's almost a given where we know this is going to take place. So, you know, that ties into, you know, the conditioning that you spoke of, you know, and the conditioning in your history, your own personal history. You know, that may have come from, you know, some sort of historical context from your parents passed on to your sister. And then your sister taking on the responsibility to make sure, you know, that as she began to, you know, to grow.
As you mentioned that, you know, it was, she definitely took over some things. My brother, he took over some things. My other brother did some other things. And then my parents were teaching me to do the other stuff. So, you know, it was a full blown effort, you know.
Right.
And,
right.
Lord helps you. Lord helps you if you did something else wrong, because, you know, then you got your aunts and cousins and right. neighborhood that was getting right. on you, you know. So, you know, and that's going off on a tangent, but, you know, it's the truth of it, you know.
No, not at all. So, that to me is the key of success. It's about a community, you know, being fully invested and involved and feeling a sense of pride and responsibility to not only, you know, maintain a certain level of cleanliness or aesthetic value, however it is that you choose to define it, to make it feel good for you on the inside. It doesn't matter to me. But
right,
the fact
right,
that,
right.
again, you know, again, just using your own personal history, if I may, you know, the fact that that pride being passed down, you know, from your parents to your brothers, to your sister, and then to you, you know, and it's only something now that you're going to carry on to the greater community, because you started with self. And that to me is the most important thing. And it's an unfortunate scenario, you know, as I've said before, where, you know, these youth that are detained for whatever reason, you know, have to bind to a system that they don't necessarily bind to once they return to their home. You know, I think that's really, you know, part of the issue that starts this vicious cycle of, you know, polluting the planet or polluting the
right.
community. You know, that you
right.
live in. It's like, you know, okay, I was removed from this situation and had to buy into, you know, another scenario in regards to get along and survive in some respect. However, when I
okay.
return back to my community, then I go back to my old habits and I just add more to what's already there versus using the tools and the skills that I, you know, were in some degree forced to obtain and use them for the greater good. See, that in and of itself is the incentive, but it's not being defined as that. It's being defined as a punishment. And once we begin to sway that language in a more positive manner, I think we'll have a lot more success, because, again, it will be, you know, not just, you know, youth that, you know, we can see and point to that, you know, may have some sort of, you know, healthy lifestyle, you know, whether it be, you know, in their food, you know, they have some sort of mm-hmm. semi, you know, vegetarian, you know, diet, you know, they're pretty healthy, you know, they are doing well in school, you know, they are pillars of their community in a sense, they're, you know, upstanding individuals in their church and in their home, they're, you know, they're wonderful children. You know, what about the ones that, you know, may be defined as mediocre or even at risk? You know, they live in the community
sure.
as well. They also need the opportunity, you know, to be plugged in and invested in, you know, the beautification of their area as well. And we have to reach out to everyone. So it's not just, you know, an inclusive group or an exclusive group. You know, it has to be inclusive in the sense that, you know, we all have to buy into this thing. And it doesn't matter whether I'm visiting your community, you know, or I live in your community. I'm just as obligated to pick up, you know, trash that I see on the street and, you know, put it into the, you know, proper receptacles of someone that is living in the community for 10 or 20 years. So as we begin to change, you know, in my opinion, the language of the landscape, I think we'll begin to see, you know, how this is, you know, going to be something more of a movement, you know, more so than just an initiative.
I got you, brother. Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a few minute break, and we'll be right back with Percival's Place.
Welcome back to Percival's Place on TalkZone.com. Here's Percy Dyer.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so David, so continue on with that thought process, brother.
Well, you know, one of the things that, you know, we had kind of been discussing too, that I guess would be, you know, an incentive, you know, for this program, this initiative, this movement that we're talking about is creating, you know, kind of a 3-day, you know, Green Tech Forum where we have students that would apply, you know, to participate in this program, where they would get an opportunity to really see, you know, the entire scope of, you know, green technology, you know, some of the things that you touch on, you know, the permaculture and, you know, sustainable buildings and engineering and that kind of thing.
Right.
And they get an opportunity to not only, you know, participate in these kind of forums within their community, you know, as a national setting, but also, you know, to come to different communities and see these forums and see where those certain technologies have been, you know, put in play. And I think that's, you know, one of the things that, you know, one of the members of, you know, of your team, Alexis, has really been spearheading, you know, something that I'm totally on board with where, you know, we get these kids, you know, in some respect, you know, out of their comfort zone and into another area to see where you to see where green technology is a universal concept that can be implemented at different levels. You know, it's, you know, starting simple, you know, just, you know, put, you know, recycling your can. You know, I know a lot of young people like myself at times, you know, like those Arizona iced teas in that tall can. Let's recycle those bad boys, you know. You know, let's begin to, you know, figure out how we can get away from styrofoam. You know, that's one of the, you know, the favorite things that you see, you know, in a lot of the carryout restaurants still, unfortunately, you know, styrofoam cups and you know, that kind of stuff, you know, buy into that kind of, you know, go out to the local park and just kind of, you know, look at the landscape, see what's going on, you know, and I think, you know, heightening the awareness, you know, of what it is that we need to do to change this landscape, you know, I think it's going to go very far, and it's going to be something that, you know, everybody's going to buy into from the bottom up, not necessarily from the top down.
Sure, and I agree with you, man. And, you know, there's a couple of things. I think, you know, what you were talking about, you know, in terms of, you know, this one bring the bags, you know, this one do this and bring, you know, and we bring the dogs and we bring the hamburgers and we all just have a good time every day, I think is a phenomenal concept, you know, because I think young people like that kind of thing. And, you know, and you and I, as an older person who, you know, and, you know, we're not so social stiffs, you know, we like to eat too, so.
Yeah, I'm definitely not opposed to it.
You know, so we'll definitely be joining in and having a good time. But, you know, one of the things that I was, you know, telling Alexis and, I'm going to share this with everyone is I think one of the things to make this program, this particular initiative exciting for people is to actually travel to different communities and actually spending time in those communities, you know, that you've probably never been to, which is why I've decided to go to 15 states. And, you know, of course, these 15 states have, you know, a market for green technology. But outside of that, when it comes to our youth, we can take somebody now who's never been to a Phoenix, Arizona, or somebody who's never been to a Long Island, or who's never been to a Florida. You know, a lot of us haven't had the opportunity to really travel much. And this gives them an opportunity. It may be just a neighboring state, you know, and maybe they don't go away for long. Maybe they just go away for a week or two, you know. Of course, this is under guidance and, you know, housing and that kind of thing. But maybe this gives them an opportunity to go someplace and clean up somebody else's environment as well as somebody else cleaning up theirs. And, you know, and you can do a really exciting exchange, you know, with these young people. Who, you know, again, a lot of times the young people have not had a chance to travel. And the first time that they're traveling is when they're going away to school, you know, and this gives them an opportunity to actually see some of these places that they've heard about, that they've seen on television and that kind of thing. And that also makes it very exciting for them. And they may be more willing to participate, you know, on an everyday basis, you know, just to get them started. You know, and I think that is another incentive, because now they get to meet new friends and that kind of thing, and, you know, get to talk about their experience and what have you. And so I'm going to try and implement that strategy within the framework that you guys are hammering out right now.
Right.
But
right.
I think that's going to be great.
Yeah, and you know, another thing, man, just to piggyback on, you know, what you're saying, there's something else that, is kind of close to my heart that, you know, I see in my area all the time. I'm from the Maryland, D.C. area. So, you know, one thing that I've seen is that, you know, unless you're involved in some sort of sports program or, you know, a position or that kind of thing, you know, students don't interact with one another from different schools or different school districts. And,
right.
And if we're talking about just traveling, you know, versus, you know, before getting to the overnight trip, you know, just go to the next county over and spend some time with, you know, some school age folks that have your same interest, you know, in technology and cleaning up their community and then inviting them into your community and do the same thing and giving folks an opportunity to see, you know, how one another live. You know, that's something, it's these, you know, really, really unseen, thick boundary lines that, you know, we live in that keep us segregated. And,
it's amazing.
I apologize for using that word, you know.
But it's the truth of it.
It's very appropriate. Yeah, I think it's very appropriate in the sense that, you know, we've segregated ourselves based on locale. You know, a difference in mentality when, you know, again, not to be cliche about it, but we're all a part of the human race and, you know, this is our state. You know,
of course.
Far beyond just it being, you know, our neighborhood or our street, you know, or our county, you know, it's about our state, our country, you know, our planet. And how to begin to make change. You make change with just, you know, you start with one. You know, you know, not to be overly cliche, but, you know, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step, you know. So we have to begin, you know, those type of conversations and getting folks, you know, buying into it, you know, or, you know, again, you know, other ideas and having, you know, different schools, you know, go to a totally different community, you know.
That's it.
Right. But again, just keeping it fresh. Like I said, you know, instead of it just being a Saturday or a Friday, you know, what about a Tuesday? You know, what about, you know, having some sort of nutrition forum during lunch? You know, it's so many, you know, things that can be done, especially, you know, with the other organizations that are, you know, actually have some other programs that are implemented that could actually work. But there is no clearinghouse, you know, which is, I think, you know, one of the things that, you know, you are creating and building, you know, is a clearinghouse for all of it. And that just, you know, I just haven't seen it. You know, I've tried to research it. I've tried to Google it. You know, I Firefoxed it. I just haven't found it. So, you know, congratulations to you. And I am, you know, happy and proud and thankful, that you have asked me to be a part of it.
Well, I wouldn't think of doing it without you because, see, I know the talent that you have and, you know, it's going to be great because, see, what I'm really going to do with a lot of you that are going to be heading, you know, different aspects of this organization, a lot of you, willingly or not, you're going to become superstars because what's going to happen, they're going to be asking you for interviews. They're going to be asking you to suggest, how did you come up with all of this kind of stuff? And I know everybody's heart that I'm asking to be in an organization. And all of you guys are really going to be superstars in your own chosen fields. And that's why I couldn't do this kind of initiative without certain superstars. And I realize who I'm asking and tasking to do X, Y, and Z with, because I know that you're more than capable. So, you know, so this kind of a thing for me is absolutely nothing because I already know who I have, you know, working with me. So this is a no-brainer for me to have you and Alexis and some other people that I had the opportunity to introduce you to yet that's coming along on this mission because, you know, it's a big undertaking to change the mindset of people. It doesn't happen overnight, but it does happen. And what I do know about the about behavioral issues and the mindset is that once it's conditioned, after a certain amount of hours, after a certain amount of days, it stays that way. You know, it doesn't dissipate. It doesn't go away after some time. It literally stays that way. And, you know, for me, I'm literally repulsed by garbage on the street because I've been conditioned, you know, and it didn't take years. It only took a few months, you know, so I already know. And when you guys get going and they literally see you guys out there, and they see you on television and they hear you on the radio and they hear you on the internet and they see you, and I didn't get a chance to tell you this too, you'll be publishing as well. Sorry to bring that up on you, brother. I didn't mean to do, you know, but you'll be publishing as well. And the real deal is that, you know, this is not just going to affect the community at large. What this is really going to do is also affect the intelligentsia of America. Wow. And they're coming. They're going to come to you because you're not going to be an expert. You're going to be the authority. And that's a big difference because the experts come to you. You're going to be the authority. So, you know, I haven't had this discussion. We're having it on the radio now, but I haven't had this discussion with you guys because I haven't been able to bring you all together as a group because, again, this is 15 states and you guys are spread out. But what's going to happen is you're going to be confronted by the media a lot, you know, so, you know, be prepared for that because, again, you're going to be the authority. You're not going to be an expert. All of the experts are going to come to you. When they start writing books, they're going to be writing books about your research and what you've done, you know. So, you know, this is something that, you know, I congratulate you on taking on this kind of responsibility because there's going to be a lot coming. So, you know, we're just getting started, you know. So, but, you know, beware of the media, the media stuff that's coming your way, brother. So good luck to you.
I got you. I'm a little cautious right now.
You should be. But listen, we're going to take a break and we're going to come on. We're going to come right back on to Percival's Place.
Welcome back to Percival's Place on TalkZone.com. Here's Percy Dyer.
Okay, gentlemen, we're back. David, so let's talk about our strategy for, you know, some of the youth that has gotten into, that has strayed off of the path, you know, a little bit. And you know, they're in some of these juvenile delinquent, you know, programs. How will you implement a strategy that will take it out of the mindset of, yo, I'm not cleaning this up. Are you crazy? You know, that kind of thing. How are you going to get them interested in with that kind of initiative?
Right. Well, you know, what's going to be clear, what is clear to me, let me say it that way. Having experience work in a juvenile detention facility, that you have to realize that in some respect, their street knowledge has them at a much more mature level than what would be your average teenager to some degree. So for them, talk is cheap. You know, it's all about what is it that you're going to do? What is it that you're going to show me how to do? So, you know, those type of forms for at-risk youth will have to be, you know, literally hands-on, interactive, and at the same time having a conversation to kind of change, you know, their apathy and letting them know that they have value and that what they do is important and that there is, you know, actually some benefit to what they're doing. So these will be the type of folks or the type of youth in small groups that you will want to take, you know, to the recycling plant. You know, mm-hmm. These are the folks that you would want to show them, you know, certain demonstrations on, you know, clean water and how, you know, water is recycled. You know, what is the true benefit of getting trash out of the neighborhood? So that thing is going on, you know, real time field trips where, you know, the water is coming down, and the sewers, you know, are backing up, and you begin to see the puddles in the street, and wondering why that happened after, you know, a really good hard rain.
Sure.
You know, it's going to be some, you know, going out when it's not bitter cold, but when, you know, the weather isn't as favorable, and seeing how that trash is buried under the, you know, snow precipitation and that kind of thing. So, you know, for them, it's going to be a lot more intensive, and you're going to have to be, you know, a lot more attentive, which is not necessarily a bad thing. You know, I'm not trying to paint it as some sort of, you know, a doom and gloom kind of thing. I think it's going to be perfect. But it's one of those things where even for some of the adults we have to deal with, it's going to be, you know, convincing them to let go of habits that they've held on to for as long as they could recognize in their memory. And when we're able to do that, then, yeah, you're able to affect change and positive conditioning, you know, and you know, again, turning that apathy into action, those kind of things. But it's going to take time. It's not, you know, as we've seen with all of the other, you know, and again, I want to, you know, give praise and recognition to the other organizations, you know, that have, you know, done some work and implemented some programs. But, you know, none of that success, none of the folks that we can recognize for any initiative, they never achieve success overnight. You know, it's always been over time. It's always been a building process. But for me, having worked with, you know, at-risk youth and they having to, you know, shield their feelings about certain things in order to fit, you know, into to what they feel is the mold and the folks that they have to operate with, you know, that may not be, you know, above board, I guess is a good way for me to put it. You know, they do care. They just can't show it. But if you show them where caring is cool, then they make the transition.
Okay. All right. I'm with you. Wow.
So,
it's going to be interesting. Can you talk about, like, you know, because we both know that there's the different environments have a different strategy. You know, like Los Angeles is going to be different from here, which is going to be different from Maryland, even though the youth are the same and they go through the same problems. You know, how are you going to deal with that? You know, it's just a different culture within the culture. It's a subculture. You know, they develop subcultures.
Right. Well, yeah, and it's really, you know, the test of that is to go time in the community, you know, for me specifically to introduce myself, you know, as part of the solution, not the problem. I'm not coming to lead you. I'm not coming to offend you. I'm coming to assist you. I'm coming to help you. And I want you to help me, you know, help you, help your community. Because, again, what I understand is for some of the at-risk youth, their behavior is generational. You know, it's not just, you know, the first generation of youth that have decided to go down a questionable path. Let me put it that way. So in that respect, it's all about, you know, again, reflecting that pride back into your individual home or your living space, you know. You know, and again, and I've talked about, you know, some of the shows that I've watched, one in particular, not that I'm trying to promote them in any way, but the Hoarders TV program where you have, you know, these adults or married couples that have children, and because they're not able to control, you know, the hoarding in their lives, you know, some of these children as a byproduct create, you know, a safe haven or a Shangri-La, if you will, for their own individual living space where there may be, you know, chaotic mounds of trash and debris, you know, outside their bedroom door. Everything within that space that they feel that they own and they control, you know, it is organized and clean, and they take pride in doing it. So, you know, what would it be if you can get folks beyond the door to do the same thing? You know, that's the premise that I'm working on, and it may be, you know, a little pie in the sky, if you will, but I think it works. You know, I think it works, and I think it can work. But it's all about, you know, being visible and being involved and you know, having those communications and saying, well, yeah, you know, I understand you may not want to clean up somebody else's trash. What about cleaning up your own? You know,
sure,
what about
sure,
not creating
sense.
More? Well, what about not creating more trash for someone else to clean up? How about that? Let's start there.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to throw it on the street, then put it in your pocket. If you got an extra pocket, you know, some of these kids got these cargo pants that got 90 pockets everywhere. Pick a pocket for trash. And then, you know, when you get home, you know, if, when you go to your laundromat or your laundry room and you go to empty your pocket, guess what you're going to empty? You're going to empty trash. You're not going to throw that trash in the washing machine because it's not going to work.
That's right.
You know, you're going to put the trash somewhere that you recognize as a place for trash, a trash can, what have you. You know, let's start there. And then let's go to, you know, what are the, you know, recyclable items that you're using in. You know, what are the benefits for that? Let's just start with the trash. You know, let's just start with, you know, recognizing that that styrofoam, you know, with the chicken wings or the ribs or the french fries or the burger or what have you that's in it, once you throw it down, it's not going to go anywhere. You know, it's going to float around or it's going to, you know, break down and get caught up into something, and it's going to be right there, and it's going to be white or yellow or green or whatever color it was, and it's going to be that color until someone comes and remove it if they come and remove it. Well, it should be you that should contribute to that. So really it's all about, you know, turning, you know, the negativity into positivity, you know, turning a can't-do into a can-do. And it's magical, but it's not quick.
I gotcha. Okay, well, we're going to take a break. I have one more interesting question for you, brother, and I'm interested to hear your answer on this. But we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with Percival's Place.
And now, back to Percival's Place on TalkZone.com with Percy Dyer.
Okay, brother, so we're back. Got a question for you. How, you know, today is a little different than when we were growing up. And, you know, the parents now have 2 and 3 jobs, and they're not always at home.
Right.
And so the question that I have for you is, what kind of program, and I don't like to use that word very often, but what kind of program will you come up with, you know, and or strategy that you're going to implement for parents that that they can use without necessarily being at home, in a sense that, you know, the kids are basically parenting themselves and, you know, coming in and out, you know, now by themselves. They don't really have the adult necessarily there to monitor them. So how will we implement some kind of strategy to keep them on this kind of plane and this kind of mindset?
Well, you know, that's interesting that you asked that question, because I think that's been, you know, one of the issues that, you know, a lot of folks have in terms of parenting. As a parent myself, you know, you have, you know, a busy schedule, you know, thinking or hoping or planning or wanting to provide a certain level of comfort for your children. But one of the things that is different now that wasn't there before is that, you know, we live in a digital age where,
true,
you know, we have the opportunity to video chat and, you know, send pictures. And just think about this show that we're doing now, you know,
right,
Internet radio show. So we have the opportunity, you know, to digitally have parents plug into, you know, the progress and the activities of their children, in addition to, you know, the progress and activities within their own neighborhood. It's all about awareness, man. I mean, you know, the one thing I can say about all of this, you know, this stuff, you know, that we talk about, you know, as a society, no matter what topic, the key, you know, element that is absent in all of these topics in terms of, you know, achievement and success and solution or resolution is communication. So for me, you know, as a parent, the one thing that I would not ever like to know is that someone asked my child to participate in a program that I wasn't aware of. Either, you know, there was some sort of direct mail that came to my home, you know, a permission slip, you know, some sort of information session for parents that, you know, was provided at a time that, you know, would work for them, where we would have, you know, say, you know, a special parent session, you know, on a Saturday morning. you know, where the majority of the parents or the children that participate can come out and see and hear progress, see and hear, you know, what the programs and initiatives are, what kind of actions, you know, that they're going to be doing, that they're going to be safe, you know, that they're doing something progressive and positive. You know, these are the things that, you know, parents need to have. And it doesn't matter, you know, how harshly we judge them, you know, looking on the outside, you know. As long as a parent is doing something that helps to maintain something positive, you know, in that child's life, you know, if they're working 3 or 4 jobs, you know, I feel for them. But at the same time, I'm happy with them because they said to themselves, you know, whatever it is that I haven't done previously isn't enough. So now I have to do more to make sure that this you know, my child, you know, can then have and do better. Now, you know, what it is that, you know, we, you know, as an organization, if I may speak in a collective, you know, could be do is provide another positive outlet, you know, for that child, you know, to now have, you know, an additional set of or some additional incentive in terms of pride for their own home to say, okay, well, listen, you know, my mother and father, my mother or my father or whatever the, you know, makeup of the family may be, you know, are doing X, Y, and Z to make sure that I have this, you know, place to live and I have food, eat, clothes, wear, and so on and so forth. If nothing else, I make sure that, you know, I do my part to keep it clean. So, you know, now we're getting the children to buy into, you know, the home, you know, scenario, the home system where they're adding, you know, to the situation versus subtracting from it. You know, and again, using your own personal example, you know, your brothers and your sisters, you know, advertently or inadvertently or covertly or however, they made
that's
you.
That's right. That's
you
right.
know, they made you buy into the system that had already been created.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Without
that's right.
any words ever really being spoken from your parents about, hey, you know, Percy, I need you to go outside and take care of this, you know, this front. No, that was your, you know, your sister's line of authority. You know,
right.
and then at some point you began to become your own line of authority.
Yeah,
you know, when
that's
you
it.
Did it, you did it, you know, almost instinctively without thinking about it.
Right.
And I think that can happen, you know, in homes where, you know, the parents are not happy because I can imagine, you know, by the time you came along, your parents were like, hey, this is just somebody else to deal with, you know. So let me let my older children kind of, you know, give him the what for, you know, about how this thing happens around here, about what moves, and then let's, you know, kind of provide some encouragement and some sustainability, you know, for our child that, you know, we all collectively love. And I think, you know, I don't think there's a home with this, and I don't want to go too far, but, you know, it's not necessarily about the absence of love. It's about how that love is defined.
I agree with you.
And I think in this perspective, we can turn that love into action, you know, or again, just going back to the theme of, you know, what I've been saying, you know, turn apathy into action, you know, turn disgust into love. But none of that happens without communication and action. You know, those are the two things that just have to happen. And I think, you know, those are the things, you know, we can't lose sight. We can't lose perspective, you know, as individuals or as an organization, you know, of the importance of having the entire family bought into a program or an initiative, you know, or a movement, you know, and again, as I said before, you know, as we look historically, you know, these kids that participated in, you know, some of the great movements that we've seen before, it was not about, you know, parental knowledge, you know,
that's right.
consent, you know, and we can't forget that in this, you know, age where everybody seems to think they can just do whatever it is that they want whenever they want. That's not necessarily the case. You know, there are rules that have to be followed, you know, for every individual, organization, what have you. And we can't skate, you know, beyond that either. We have to stay focused. But again, you know, having the young folks involved is going to be paramount to the success, you know, of what it is that we're trying to bring, you know, to a national and a global perspective about, you know, what it is to quote unquote go green.
Wow, yeah, that's absolutely phenomenal. That's exactly right. You know, and the next thing is that we're going to have to, you know, I've spoken to you about this before. We're actually going into some of these poorer countries like like some of the Caribbean countries, and we're going to be implementing this kind of strategy. So, you know, again, I know we got our work cut out for us, but,
right.
You know, this is exactly, from my perspective, what's needed. And I'll tell you a story, really quickly. You know, I went to China, I went to China like three times, when I was in government. And one of the things, I'm forgetting which part now, but I went to Shanghai, I went to Dalian, and I've been to Beijing. And, you know, I was having these APEC meetings, which was the Asia Pacific Economic Council, which is neither here nor there right now, but I was having these meetings, and right behind the buildings that were just recently built, you could still see, you know, very, very poor people. That's in China. You could see it right, you know, right there in front of you. And when you look, when I say these people are poor, I'm talking about, not U.S. poor. I mean poor, you know, poor, like, you know, they're out in the street. They're, you know, they don't have a lot of the amenities that we have and, you know, that kind of thing. But what I did notice was something very, very striking. They had a big broom, and some other tools, and their place was clean.
Wow.
That really, really stuck with me. And I'm looking at this, and I mean, these people are poor. This is the real definition in my estimation of what it is to be poor. And they have a broom. They have, you know, some other tools, and their place is spotless. And I said, look at this. I wish I could, you know, of course I wouldn't, but I wish I could have taken the picture, because that's the example that everyone needs to follow. That kind of thing that goes on in these other communities, you know, overseas, is exactly what I've been screaming about now for the past few years. It's a mindset issue. You can be poor, you could be rich, you could be middle class, doesn't matter. But if you have that mindset, you know, you're actually doing well. And I promise you, if you were to talk to those people, they would tell you that they're just as fine as ever. They have no problems.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Of course these people are living to great ages, but they're just as fine as ever. They're and happy and okay with everything that's going on. You know. Of course they, you know, I'm sure they would want more money, but relatively speaking they have the health,
right,
and they're doing well. You know, so, you know, that really, really struck me. But anyway, it's time to wrap up. So, Dave, you know, thanks for being on the show, man. And we're going to have some good guests on next week. And for all of you out there, thank you for joining Percival's Place. Mm-hmm.